It's 10 at night, sometime after the close of our last episode. As Perry Mason, leaving his taxi to walk the last few blocks to his apartment, bends his long body against the icy wind. The cold stings his eyes, so Mason doesn't notice the middle-aged, plainly dressed woman standing near the entrance. But as he starts inside...
Mr. Mason?
Hmm? Oh, yes, yes, my name is Mason.
Well, could I speak to you? I've been waiting for some time.
And... out here?
Well, I'm not well dressed. There were people in the lobby. Oh, it's very important I speak to you, Mr. Mason.
Oh, all right, you come with me.
Nice and warm.
Oh, well, you should have waited in here.
I was embarrassed. And it wasn't really cold until the wind started. If I can only speak to you a moment.
That's why I brought you in. Now, would you like to sit over in the corner there, or would you rather go to my apartment?
Oh, this is fine, Mr. Mason. That is, if it's all right with you.
It's all right, Mrs. Riley.
How did you know me?
I guessed. Sit down. Thank you. No one will disturb us here. You want to take off your coat?
Hmm.
No? Very well. I'm glad you came.
Well, I was afraid you'd be displeased.
No, certainly not. I was going to call on you tomorrow.
Tomorrow? My boy's trial is tomorrow. Oh, Mr. Mason...
Well, his trial is scheduled for tomorrow, but he'll get a continuance. Now, that's a delay in the trial. Your son's lawyer spoke for me, and I advise that he request a delay.
Oh. Well, I want to make something clear, Mr. Mason. I don't have any right to come to you. I don't have any money.
Mrs. Riley...
Oh, now, please let me explain. Please... You've talked to my boy once. Now, that was more than I could even hope for. But my boy is going to prison if he doesn't get help. And he is only a boy, Mr. Mason.
He is a young man, 19 years of age. Old enough to know the difference between right and wrong.
Right and wrong. Isn't it right for my boy to get mercy? Isn't it wrong for my boy to be persecuted?
Persecuted, Mrs. Riley?
Yes, sir. That young lawyer says I must prepare myself for my Francis going to prison. Oh... Why is my son persecuted? Other boys...
Mrs. Riley, the law is not a monster.
But
no, please, please, let me explain something. Now, we have learned to recognize two types of criminals. One is the basically moral, basically good human being who makes a single mistake either through a sudden weakness or through circumstances. Usually, it's a combination. Now, these people cooperate, admit their mistake, and want honestly to make up for it. These people can be salvaged. And the law leans over backward to give them a break. I know a man who went to prison because he was mixed up in the dope racket.
Oh, Francis would never do anything...
That man is now out of prison on parole.
There, you see? That's just
now,
what
wait
I'm
a
trying
minute,
to...
Please, Mrs. Riley. There's another type of criminal. This is the warped and twisted individual, the criminal who is bitter, refuses to cooperate. I went to talk to your son... He wouldn't talk to me. He won't talk to his lawyer.
But, Mr. Mason...
No, wait a minute. I don't say Francis is a hardened, embittered young man. I do say that that is the impression he will give the judge and the prosecutor and the probationary officers.
But he isn't. Francis is sensitive. He's been hurt. He... Well, why, Francis isn't bitter. He's a good boy. He is a good boy. Why, I know everything about him.
Do you, Mrs. Riley?
I'm his mother. Of course I do.
Well, it's possible to be mistaken, even about those we love.
You're saying I don't know my own child?
No, I merely meant that...
That perhaps... is what you're saying. Why, I've raised Francis all my life since his father passed away, and well, if he was like you say...
I say he gives that impression.
If he was that way, it'd mean I haven't done my duty. And I have done my duty. I know I have.
Oh, I'm sure you have, Mrs. Riley. However, the fact remains that...
You can ask any of my friends, Mr. Mason. I always gave my boy everything he wanted, even if it did mean plenty of sacrifices. I always gave Francis whatever he asked for. And, well, I gave him freedom, too, Mr. Mason. I didn't tie my boy to my apron strings. I did my very best to be a perfect mother. And some of my dearest moments came when friends gave me words of praise. How can you criticize the way I raised my boy? When I gave him everything, when I sacrificed, when I love him so very much. Oh, what have I done wrong? What have I done wrong, Mr. Mason? What did I do wrong?
Nothing, Mrs. Riley, except perhaps love him too much. And you couldn't help that. I'll see him again tomorrow, then... And then we'll have more of an idea of what we can do. Now, I'll get you a cab.
Oh, no, no. Please don't bother.
Oh, you can't walk home in that cold wind. You just stay where you are, Mrs. Riley. I'll send for a cab.
Now, sometime later in the Beekman home, Ed Beekman wakes up. Hears the wind blow hard against the building. Ed shivers in his warm bed.
You awake, honey? Maud? Where are you? Maud?
I didn't mean to wake you, Ed.
Oh, you didn't. That wind yowling outside.
Ooh.
Hey, get back in bed before you freeze. Come on, get under the covers. Oh. Hey, you're like a block of ice. What's bothering you, Odie?
I told you, the wind.
Ah, you were awake before it started. You get up to look at Kate.
Uh-huh.
Is she okay?
Sleeping like a baby.
You worried about her trying out for a dancing job? Or...
No, not exactly. But you said...
Oh, what I said. Forget what I said.
Have you?
Uh-huh. I thought about it some more, and then I forgot it.
Tell me.
Now, look, if you don't get to sleep...
Please, Ed.
Sure, baby. Look, when Kate told us she was going to try out for a job dancing, I didn't like it. But then I got to thinking, what I really didn't like was not knowing where the job is and who she'll work for.
Mm.
But then I got to thinking, the woman who's going to give her the audition, what is her name?
Helen Powers.
Helen Powers, yeah, Pa. Well, she won't give Katie a bum steer. Not a big timer like her, right?
Yeah, but...
I know. We don't know where Kate's going to work. But look at it this way, Ord. We don't know she's going to get the job.
She can dance good enough.
Okay. All right, we say she does. There'll be plenty of time to decide if the job's okay for her. Naturally, she don't want to talk about it ahead of time. She figures it bad luck. But it'll work out okay, Ordie. Now, you go to sleep. Good night, Ord.
Night, honey.
You're warm enough now.
Oh. Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry, Ed. That wind.
It ain't the wind, Audie. I'll tell you what's really bothering you and me both. Katie's growing up.
What do you mean?
Well, it was fine and dandy if Kate worked for Mr. Mason because he's a friend of ours. Job with him wouldn't take her away from us.
One reason.
An important reason. But Katie's wanted to dance ever since she was a little kid. It's all she ever wanted. And now she's got a chance to do what she always wanted. And you can't blame her for wanting to dance any more than you could blame a bird for wanting to fly on it. But all of a sudden, we wake up and we realize she's starting to leave the nest.
She's not leaving.
No, not right now, no. But later... And this is no modeling job. This is what she's dreamed of. She's as good as we hope. She'll go a long, long way. Away from us. That's what bothers us. But, Aunt, once you look that in the face...
You've done a good job of convincing yourself. For now. Wonder how you'll feel when the time comes.
All right, maybe I'll sing a different tune, but we'll cross that bridge when we come to it. But I know this, Aunt. We can't stop Katie from dancing.
No, would it? I don't know what it would do to her if she couldn't dance.
Yeah, she'll get a chance tomorrow. You going to sleep now?
I'll try.
Now what?
Wish she'd told us more about us. And I wish the wind had stopped blowing. I wish it had stopped. All right, Ed. I'll go to sleep.
Audrey Beekman is not, as a rule, subject to vague fears, to unreasoning anxiety. And yet, Audrey is deeply, instinctively troubled. And could Audrey but know what the future holds in store? Well, the future is always mysterious. Be sure and join us tomorrow, won't you?